Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Afternoon Underdogs on 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Bonetti and Dave Jennings.
Oh, Monday of a weird week, whether you're working one day, 2 days, 3 days, it doesn't matter. It's kind of weird. It's Thanksgiving. You got family coming in, and Dwight's already out for the week, so we have Dave Jennings. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing 2 days, for those keeping score.
Yeah, I'll do three this week.
It's yeah, I'm doing three.
And yeah, I'm a hard worker. All right.
That's true. You are,
thank
actually.
You. Thank you. No, I have no idea how I got stuck doing 3 days. And then we have Sasquatch is literally the hardest worker in the world, and he is now, he is in North Carolina. Is that true, my friend?
This is true. I am on the campus of Duke University.
Why? Are you applying for Duke University? What are you doing?
No,
why
they have very high standards. There's no way in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm thinking about just showing up in one of their classrooms today and seeing how well that goes.
That would be fantastic. Just tell them you're here to evaluate the professor.
Yes, I'm a Mensa candidate. Nothing to be alarmed about.
So coming out of Duke, we'll see lots of grainy black and white cell phone videos coming out of there. Look what I saw on the quad.
Sasquatch. It was a Sasquatch.
Squatch on the quad.
All right, I know why you're there.
The whole campus is in the woods.
All right, I know why you're there. Bellarmine, Scotty Davenport, he's not afraid to play anybody. He's going to play Duke here, and then I believe he's flying out to California to play UCLA next, correct?
Yeah, we're going to get back from Duke at 1:30 in the morning tomorrow. And the flight for them to go out to Los Angeles is at 5 Wednesday morning.
I guess that the donations to Bellarmine have gone up in the last couple of years, because you're talking about usually Bellarmine is a drive the bus to your home game away game. When you're flying around to North Carolina, to UCLA, to Gonzaga like I did last year, I would assume their athletic budget has improved over the last couple of years since going to Division One. I would assume.
Yeah, and they've gotten a lot of donor support. There's a lot of donors on this trip that are hanging out and getting to be a part of this, and they've gotten to go through some of the walkthroughs and things like that over the last couple of days, and they'll get to be there at the game tonight, obviously, and then hop on the plane and red-eye it back to Louisville.
How big a deal was it to that team to beat Louisville? Are they still talking about it?
No, they look at it and go, yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, we beat an ACC team, but that we went and had our moment, and then like 3 nights later they were in Moorhead. Mm. Having a rough go of it, so I don't think that game stuck with them that terribly long.
Well, let's see if they have that same attitude if they beat Duke tonight. All right.
Oh no, I think if they beat Duke, then then they're probably going to create some sort of a trophy. And
yeah, they're going to have cake by the ocean. Damn it, in UCLA,
I like cake
by the ocean.
That's a good name for a band.
Yeah, it really is, or a song.
What, cake. I like cake.
No, cake by the ocean. It's a song, you doofus.
Oh yeah, because you know me and my connection to pop culture.
All right. Christmas came early, boys, for...
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
No.
I knew you would start yelling.
What? What are we yelling about?
Listen, Christmas started early for one individual in the state. Can you guess who I'm thinking of?
Christmas in the state, one individual.
Bill Cox.
Is it Bill?
How about Mark Stoops? Mark Stoops' new contract will pay him more than John Calipari.
So,
I bet that's going well.
So you lose to Vanderbilt. You let Georgia think the game's going to be interesting, and you get a big old contract extension.
It is obscene. It is a gross amount of money. They apparently signed the contract 2 weeks before this losing streak started, and for some reason they didn't feel like they wanted to tell everybody that they gave the coach of a public university a raise that will make him $8.5 million next year.
Yeah, he's now, I think, behind Nick Saban, one of the, if not the top.
Yeah, he's top 10 now. Saban's 10.9 million and probably makes more than that. Dabo Sweeney's a $10 million guy. Kirby Smart, $10 million guy. Brian Kelly went to LSU for $10 million. I mean, this is
Jimbo.
Oh. Mel Tucker.
Well, Jimbo's going to get in that $10 million range, but his will just be a buyout.
Hey, that's $90 million.
Yes. Oh, wow. I mean,
I'll take $90 million to not do stuff.
I will not coach Texas A&M for $500,000 right now.
I don't think it's $90 million anymore. I think it's down to like 70 or $80 million.
Yeah. Oh, geez. How's he going to live on that?
But, you know, from Kentucky's perspective, if they think Stoops is the long-term guy, and it seems like he might be, they don't want to go back to Kentucky as the stepping stone job.
Well,
when they finally find someone, then off
correct,
he goes.
Correct. As gross and obscene as I think it is to pay Mark Stoops $8.5 million a year to coach a kid's game to teenagers, the price is what you need to pay people to make. This isn't, I'm going to pay you almost $10 million to win the championship. Just keep us relevant.
You can complain about the market forces if you want, but that's where they are. You can either play the game or not play the game. If
right.
you want to try to pay somebody $3.5 million, you're going to lose them every 3 years.
And let's be honest. When Oklahoma and Texas join this league, man, I mean, it's going to be the SEC and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ten will be a couple of notches down.
And then what if they add FSU and Clemson?
If they do that, I just can't see them moving in that direction. But I never would have guessed that UCLA and USC were going to go to the Big Ten.
Nope.
Well, UCLA may not at this point, because apparently the Board of Regents has decided they'd like to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, I see, that's the deal. See, those schools have always had an unwritten sort of gentleman's agreement to go together if they were going to go. Like Oklahoma and Texas were like, if we leave.
Oh, that's cute.
And
if like neither of us meet anybody when we turn 40, let's just get married, okay?
It's kind of like the going to the bathroom in mass thing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. So apparently those two schools have always, if you go, we'll go. If you don't go, we won't go. So if UCLA bails, then that means you lose USC also.
Right.
I guarantee it. But the money is so huge in the Big Ten. People, yes, is the SEC more relevant and they have more championships by a wide margin? But the Big Ten Network.
Also, it means more there.
But yeah. Big Ten Network makes, I don't know. I don't know if it's double what the SEC network does.
They make double the ACC probably, or very close to it.
Oh, guarantee it.
Yeah.
No, guarantee it. It's $2-3 billion a year. It's sick. So Christmas came early for the Stoops.
Well, good
family.
For him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Getting paid.
Yeah.
So there you go. The other coaches are Mel Tucker. Was it Mel Tucker, a country singer?
Mel Tillis.
Mel Tillis. Sorry.
Although stuttering I think Mel Tillis.
Yeah, I think Mel Tucker does stutter also.
Mel
Play
Tucker.
Some defense.
They showed up to the game without the fence part.
Just an enormous D.
The guy with the fence was sick, man.
He had a COVID test. He couldn't come.
Oh.
Mel Tucker at Michigan State makes $10 million.
Yeah.
It's really gross. You know, if you, I tweeted this out last night. Sometimes it's not even, you know, the head coach makes this. Just roll down to the assistants and say, and look at a linebacker's coach. A linebacker's coach, probably responsible for 6 kids, 7 at the most in the locker room, and he is making $400,000 or $500,000 a year. So he makes more than a cardiologist, and he's coaching 6 kids.
He's got 7 of his kids on the team?
No, stop. So in the linebacker room, you have 6, right? The most?
Well, how about
maybe.
The special teams guy? This guy's in charge of one guy who has to kick maybe 3 times a day.
Right. No.
Special and coverages.
Teams.
Yeah,
special teams. You're right. And these guys are making $400,000 or $500,000, which is more than a cardiologist, more than, I mean, think about the jobs that you have to do in the real world to make $400,000, and this is the linebacker's coach.
Now, Louisville's defensive coordinator's in the 7-figure range, right?
Correct.
And didn't Scott Satterfield kind of take that over?
$1 million a year for most coordinators.
Yeah, so, yeah, hope coordinators. They kept the receipt on that one.
That's also the market.
Yeah. Coordinators, OC, DC make $1 million a year. It really is unbelievable. And you get, and here's the thing. They're not held to a standard. We're going to pay you $1 million a year. Now your defense is 120th out of 129 schools.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I mean, you're still better than the other 9, at least.
All right. So I am not. Look, we have the Governor's Cup coming up this weekend. The thing has moved around from the first game of the season, which was the best setup ever. and no one can deny that. UK was scared and tired of getting beat, so they moved it to the third or fourth game of the season right before the SEC and whatever conference we were in started to play. And then now it's rivalry week. So mm-hmm. I'm not taking the bait.
What bait?
The bait that Louisville is playing their best football now and Kentucky's not so much. I'm not taking the bait. I did that last year. Remember Louisville won two or three games in a row, I mean whooping people, and then pushed Clemson all over the field and lost it with 2 seconds on the clock, and everybody said, oh no, Louisville's for real, and they just got embarrassed.
Kentucky the last couple of years has been dominant in the trenches and by a wide margin.
Correct.
That just doesn't change in 10 months' time.
Yeah. Oh no, their offensive line is not as good as they were, but is it good enough to keep Louisville out of the backfield? I don't know. It didn't help that Will Levis has looked terrible for about 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Is he pressing because he started hearing this first-round draft pick stuff? It seems like maybe he's more concerned about that than playing his game.
Well, he looked good Saturday against the best team in the country.
Looked terrible against Vanderbilt.
Yes. No, it's true. Yeah. It's true. And guess what? There's no kryptonite on Louisville's side. As a matter of fact, it's his whatever it is that when he sees Cardinal Red, he goes crazy. He has an all-world game. And I keep having those flashes of him in the second tier.
You are getting older.
And, well, not that hot. But watching Louisville linebackers.
Wait, you're hot for Will Levis?
Stop it.
He is. He likes redheads.
Whiffing on, or olaying, as they say. Olay! You can go right past me. I don't really want to tackle you.
It's kind of like Josh Allen with the Bills, yeah.
Yeah. No, he does. He reminds me. I think that's what NFL guys is, see Levis and see the 6'4", 6'5", 255, 60-pound guy.
And you got a 5'10 defensive back, buck 85, thinking, nah.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
And then the other side of that is Louisville's quarterback, who will play at quarterback. Will it be Cunningham or the backup that did a great job on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Dorman? Doman.
Doorman.
I had a 50-50 shot.
I like that.
So Sasquatch is at Duke today because Bellarmine will play Duke tonight at 8:30.
So you're embedded, essentially.
I am. I am in their meeting room right now. Yeah. I'm way early to tape because there's no one else here.
Yeah. And what time? I guess they're going to be here in about an hour or so, I guess.
Yeah, it's. I think breakfast is at 10. Right. Supposedly there's a guy that makes that's like a made-to-order omelet station.
Ooh.
They gave me a ticket to the omelet guy. So
no onions for Sasquatch. If I was there, I'd say no onions.
And then it's, I think I would walk through at 11, and then they kind of chill, and then it's 8:30 tip.
Well, and made-to-order omelet guy and slicing the meat guy, they always pull off a little piece of meat and gently set it on your tray, and this little tiny omelet. Swatch is going to look at that and go, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, no. Slice the meat guy at the buffet. He pulls that stunt, and I just go, more.
Keep it coming.
Yeah. And then finally, after about the third or fourth time I say more, he finally just cuts off about half of it and puts on the plate.
He was happy Friday, though. Nick and I and Sasquatch went over across the street or a couple blocks down. Nick Coffey's mom works for, what was the law firm? Do you remember?
I don't, but it was in the unit-shaped building.
Yes, the one that looks like
a hard-grade construction.
No, I don't think it was that.
No, I don't think it was them. It was some lawyers.
Yeah, it was a bunch of lawyers.
It was the first time the three of us had been in a lawyer's office and we weren't defendants. Yeah,
that's exactly right. right, when I walk in, hello, Mr. Vannetti, back again? So they had a chili cook-off and wanted us to judge. So they had, what was it, five different types of chilies we got to eat. And
yes, and you know, of course, he's down there wearing his 1970s like sports anchor get-up.
Turtleneck and in a dress jacket.
Yeah, he's got the, you know, he's wearing his Tom George collection turtleneck.
Any unique chilies, like some kind of weird critters or white chili?
The white chili came in. Oh, white chili won over the beef, over the beef chili.
Because white chili came in late.
White still won.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
Right. So the beef chili is what I prefer. I have gone away from tomato-based chili. I just can't do it anymore. I don't like tomato-based anything.
What about lots of pasta spaghetti sauce?
I don't. I don't do sauce on the pasta. I do a little olive oil and maybe some Parmesan, real Parmesan from Lots of Pasta.
Yes.
But that's it.
That's what I do when I go to those like make your own pizza places.
Yeah.
I tell them hold the sauce, just put olive oil.
Yeah.
Get some of the pesto from Lots of Pasta, mix that in.
Right. I just have grown away from tomato based, so I don't even use it at all. I make a little bit of it for the kids or if they want.
What's the mater with you?
What?
Tomato.
Wish I could use that as the joke of the day. But we can't. Let's do the mama jokes. Dwight is out, so I've got some, boys.
If you need one,
here we go. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Teabag.
Your mama is so fat.
How fat is she?
She's so fat, she was floating in the ocean. She was floating in the ocean, and Spain claimed her for the New World.
That's fat.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Yes.
Your mama's so dumb.
How dumb is she?
She put a watch in the piggy bank, saying she was saving time. Hang on, let's
do that again.
Your mama's so dumb, she put a watch in the piggy bank and said she was saving time.
Yeah.
There we go. You jumped in early.
Probably good that the immunity music was playing.
One more.
Oh, there's one more. Okay.
One more.
Oh, yeah, because the other ones weren't already so outstanding.
Hey, fellas.
Easy, Thunder. What?
Your mama's so dumb.
How dumb?
She went to the library to find Facebook.
Oh, that's dumb.
Lots of
people do log in the library, right. Tony, making that accurate.
Thank you for being enthusiastic at Duke, buddy, and hope you get some breakfast soon.
I will, and then I'll be in tomorrow, and we'll recap it.
All right, Sasquatch with the Bellarmine basketball team live at Duke. They play tonight at 8:30. Dave Jennings and I will be back after this. Nick Coffey here in a second. Of course, that's the UofL fight song.
Indeed, sir. Things have turned around for our fighting Cardinals. You all right?
Yeah. I was choking on what you were saying. Yes.
Yeah, they're playing better. They're tackling people, Tony. They're winning games. How is that not turning things around?
No, they have, but here's the thing. I'm not taking the bait, okay? Mm. Because I was exactly here last year. Nick Coffey joins us from 790 WKRD Morning Show from 7 to 10.
I'm not talking about the Kentucky game yet, but this team has improved since earlier this season. Is it Scott Satterfield taking over the defense? Has he taken over the defense? I don't know, but this team looks different.
Nick, I'm not taking the bait.
As far as feeling good about this matchup,
last year I saw him whoop two opponents in a row, and the one opponent was, remember, Lamar came back, they retired his name or whatever, and Cunningham looked like Lamar that day, and then they pushed Clemson around. Clemson was ranked second or third in the nation, and Louisville pushed him around for four quarters and then had the dumbest play calling in American history on the 2-yard line to beat Clemson. So I said, oh, my gosh. And Kentucky didn't look good. But Louisville was on a trajectory going up. So I put some emotional equity into the game, Nick.
Yeah, look, I think Louisville fans, even if they didn't want to, have to feel good about where Louisville is right now. They have just turned into a different team with a defense that's pretty solid. The offense is good enough and pretty safe. But until I see Scott Satterfield's team be competitive against Kentucky, it's tough for me to say that Louisville's going to win the game. Mark Stoops, he's checked a lot of boxes as the head coach of Kentucky. One of them is, even when they didn't win and they were overmatched, they were always ready to play Louisville. He's always done a good job of getting his guys up for this game. Louisville's only played Kentucky twice under Satterfield, and both of those games are games we'd like to forget. So, look, I think Louisville has done more in the last 5-6 weeks than they did the previous instance where, as you mentioned, they blew out Duke and Cuse and played Clemson competitively. You know, they're the only team in the country that has at least 5 wins over 7-win teams. So they're not playing a juggernaut of a schedule. But
say that stat again.
Louisville has beat 5 teams that as of right now has won at least 7 games up to this point in the season. Nobody else has won more than 4.
No other team in the nation has done that.
Okay. So, you know, they're battle-tested now. Are they great? No, we know they can lose to anybody, but I think this defense has changed everything about Scott Satterfield's teams at Louisville. Kentucky's weakness is their offensive line. So I can't predict Louisville wins the game, but I give Satterfield credit for this. If he gets blown out once again, I know what the reaction is going to be from fans, because Louisville has never, in my opinion, as a football fan base, needed to pick their face up off the mat more than right now against the rival. I mean, they were not used to losing to Kentucky like this at all.
So, Nick, what's changed? Because I've seen this team play over the years with Scott Satterfield. They usually have to outscore people, win 48 to 45, whatever. Usually they lose those games, unfortunately. Then I saw them earlier, the same guys against Florida State couldn't stop their backup quarterback, Tate, interception maker. So how are these guys suddenly stopping people?
Fun to watch.
What's changed?
They're just more aggressive. They now, I mean, against NC State, they brought three and still were getting effective pressure. They've got personnel that can do it. So we'll never know exactly who's doing what behind the scenes defensively, because, you know, I've heard from people that it's Satterfield calling the defense. I've heard from people that it's Brian Brown. I don't know, but clearly it is different. They're more aggressive. It's almost as if they have a better understanding for their personnel. I would say another component here that probably doesn't get mentioned enough is that last year when they were really poor defensively, they were without two guys that have been really impactful this year, Trey Clark and Monty Montgomery. Those guys were lost for the season. And I think earlier this year, maybe they were still shaking off some rust from those injuries. But right now, this defense is playing really well. I like their personnel. They can get after the quarterback, and that's where Kentucky struggles. But, you know, as much as Kentucky's had a very underwhelming season, given what their expectations were, I still look at their personnel and I feel like they have talent. Their offensive line is clearly an issue, but we know that Will Levis is a good quarterback. I don't know if he's as good as people say he is, but he's certainly good enough. We saw that last year against Louisville. At running back, Chris Rodriguez, one of the best running backs they've had maybe ever there. And then at skill position, they've got young receivers that can make plays. Dane Key, Barry and Brown.
He's good.
They're good. And then on defense, they've always had good enough personnel to give teams problems. They just held Georgia to 16 points. Yeah. So, I know Kentucky looks as beatable as they ever have, just given the way their season's gone. Vandy beat them, and Missouri should have beat them had their punter not laid out and taken that penalty. But I still know what Mark Stoops is working with from a personnel standpoint. So, look, I think we're in line for a competitive game. But if I had to, you know, gun to my head who I think wins, I just have to stick with Kentucky just because of what I've seen them do against Louisville. I know this Louisville team's different, but I got to see it first.
I think gamblers tell you to stay away from games to where you wouldn't be surprised at any outcome.
Yeah.
Right. When they tell you that, if you don't touch this game, if you wouldn't be surprised by any of the outcomes, right? So I wouldn't be surprised at any of the outcomes for this game. 3:30 Saturday afternoon, the Governor's Cup. I'd feel a lot better if this game was in Louisville. It's not. It's in Lexington. I don't know what kind of crowd. I just walked out to the sales team and said, I was trying to gauge interest. A bunch of U of L. We have a former U of L player in our sales staff. I said, who's going Saturday? No one raised their hand. I said, who wants to go Saturday? And about half the people raised their hand. But I said, you don't want to go enough.
And the weather's supposed to be terrible, too.
To buy a ticket and go. So they're like, no, I don't want to go enough to go drive to Lexington and sit in the cold. So I don't know what the crowd's going to be. The first half of the Governor's Cup record, remember, Dave, it could be pinpointed to whoever had the 100-yard rusher.
Yeah.
Whoever had the 100-yard rusher, that team won. And then it switched almost like a light switch to whoever had the better quarterback. Whoever had the better quarterback was winning those games. Or you were an idiot. The only time that Louisville had a lesser quarterback and won was when, I don't know if it was Stoops. Who was before Stoops that called? Maybe it was Stoops that called single coverage on Devonta
Bill Cox.
It was Stoops, and it was Kyle Bolin who came in for Reggie Bonifant.
Yes, Kyle Bolin came in for Reggie Bonifant, okay? And they left Devontae Parker.
That was the Devontae game,
single coverage.
The whole game.
And would not get off that. And Devontae said, oh, okay.
Just went up and got it every time.
Every time. And that's how they won the game. Besides that, it's usually been the better quarterback. So right now, I wish Levis looked like he did 3 weeks ago.
Do you?
But he did not look like that Saturday against the number one team in America.
No, look, moral victories are something people get made fun of, but I don't know how Kentucky can't feel better than they anticipated. They lost 16-6 and honestly got down in the red zone and didn't score, I think, three times. So, you know, I know they don't want to be 6-5, but I think they probably feel better about themselves now than they probably thought they would going into that game. Look, the Louisville quarterback situation, if Malik is even close to being as banged up as he was against Clemson, which he has to be. He not only is he playing with a fractured non-throwing hand, he injured his throwing shoulder against Clemson and didn't play against NC State. So I think you're going to hear Satterfield do the gamesmanship thing and say he's day-to-day. We'll see all that jazz. But if he's not healthy, you need to go with Brock Doman. Not to say that Brock Doman's better, but if he's healthy, it's better than playing an unhealthy Malik, who just clearly looked uncomfortable against Clemson. But Malik has a chance. I mean, Malik's been here for a long time. If he was to start this game and lose it, he would go down as the only quarterback to start four games in this rivalry and not win. So he wants to play. He wanted to play on Saturday against NC State because it's senior day. He's been here forever, and they beat a ranked team. Satterfield's so loyal to his guys, but he's going to have to make, in my opinion, the hard decision and tell Malik, look, you don't give us the best chance to win if you're not healthy. And he's not healthy. Again, he's a fractured non-throwing hand, and it'd be different if he was a guy that didn't run a lot, but that's what makes him dynamic. And if he won't even put the ball in that hand when he runs. I think Brock Doman is limited. He's not as much of a big play threat, but I think he's shown he's capable of making enough plays. And if your defense comes to play, then you won't need Brock to do a whole lot.
So let's go back a month, guys. We're talking on this show and the other show and saying, you know what? Is Scott Satterfield going to get the rest of the year? Or are they going to pull the trigger on this and see back channel, talk to Brom up in Purdue, whatever? Now we go forward, and the Cardinals are 7-4. They are a win away from an SEC team being 8-4, maybe a bowl game and 9-4. So suddenly, the guy that couldn't keep his job could get looked at by other schools, Nick?
Yeah, I doubt that happens, but because of Louisville's history of losing coaches to other schools and Satterfield flirting after 1 year with South Carolina, we've already had people on my show bringing that up and saying, hey, you know, any chance? He could go 8-4 here and it would be a great turnaround, but I don't know if that would warrant a new contract and new money for him at Louisville. And if I just don't know what job he would be getting. I don't know which program would be attracted to Satterfield after 4 years that would make it to where, like, yeah, he wants to leave Louisville because this is a better situation. Not to say he'll never leave. I think he probably will if he has a lot of success. And if he does, then we'll say thanks for all you did, because if you got another job, it likely means that you did a good job here. That's how it works. But, yeah, not to bring up this name because it's the name everybody talks about when we talk about the job potentially opening, but like Jeff Brohm last year went, 9-4 at Purdue, mm-hmm. and he didn't get a new job. So, yeah. I just don't think he's going to be a candidate for a better job than Louisville.
It's so similar to Stoops a couple of years ago. I mean, I was in the room with a UK insider that was saying they have the money to hammer him today. Like, it was game day. And there were some rumors about Stoops' family, and I'm not going to bring them up now. But it was all they had the money, and they were going to hammer him that day. Stoops was done. He was thrown up as a miserable failure. And there was some off the field stuff that wasn't good. They were firing him that day.
He lost to Southern Miss.
He wins that game. And then a couple of games later, he beats Louisville, beats Lamar Jackson.
Changed everything for him.
And that changed everything. He was gone midseason, and then all of a sudden turns it around. This Satterfield is almost exactly the same way. It was a foregone conclusion. Satterfield is gone. We weren't even contemplating or kind of calculating how he could keep his job, because there's no way. And now?
We were probably a Virginia upset away from having David Padgett get a contract extension. Remember that?
Yeah.
David Padgett.
Don't get me started. What's his name, Nick?
DP.
Nick calls him DP because they're buddies.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
DP.
Ugh. Worst decision ever. Love you, DP, but no, we're not. I can't call him DP because we're not friends.
Nope. It's funny how things change.
Football, but it's very similar, right?
Yeah. And
so,
look, and let's be real. Even if Kentucky finishes 6-6 because they lost to Louisville and they only went 3-5 in the SEC, I'm not sure what that does like nationally as far as how people view Satterfield. But I know this fan base will carry Satterfield anywhere he wants to go across this city if he can beat Kentucky, because, yes, again, they've never needed it more than they do now. And it's there. They can win. It's just, for me, I got to see them be competitive against Kentucky before I literally just make the prediction that they go beat them in Commonwealth.
One thing that comes into play is if these super conferences happen, the whole expansion thing's kind of quieted down. But you think Louisville's a great job, could be a destination job now because you're in the ACC. You have an easier path to a national title than in the SEC, given that regular season nightmare you have to go through. But could Louisville find themselves on the outside looking in of super conferences, Nick, and kind of taking it back in the job status department?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think there's the two conferences that clearly are the best in the sport and have a much more secure future is the SEC and the Big Ten.
Oh,
and
yeah.
there's, I mean, anybody from any other league would gladly take a seat at that one of those tables if they could. The question is how much does it expand how attractive are you to those conferences?
Yeah, let me ask you this. So Oklahoma and Texas are on their way in. Who's the commissioner for SEC?
Greg Sankey.
Sankey has said, Dave, you saw this, right, where they are going to get away from the divisions and they're going to make it one big conference and you're going to play different people every year. That is humongous news for Kentucky.
Sure, they won't get a Vandy every year. They won't get a South Carolina every year. They're going to potentially have years where they play a juggernaut. They may have one year where they get lucky and they play teams that are down. But that's not ideal for a place like Kentucky, which, again, I think that's why Mark Stoops got his new contract, because it's about to get even harder in the SEC, and Stoops clearly is the best football coach, in my opinion, that they've ever had, at least in my lifetime. And even though this year they've been underwhelming, I mean, Kentucky fans could lose to Louisville and still would worship Mark Stoops just because he's given them any level of success in football. I mean, six and five right now is what they are, and they're disappointed with how the season's gone. If they were 6-5 with a game left in previous regimes, they would be celebrating because they're not used to going.
The biggest marketing nightmare for the last 15 years has been scandals for Louisville, and they haven't figured out how to market their way back. I think the second biggest marketing nightmare for Louisville was when they lost the underdog, we're the little brother tag. As a Louisville fan, I loved that because I wanted to be the underdog.
It's part of your identity for generations.
That's right. And I wanted to go up against big bad Kentucky. And let me clue in, Louisville fan. You get outside of Jefferson County, you are little brother. The whole state is Kentucky. Don't let them fool you. Well, there's Louisville fans in Paducah.
Got a pocket of them in Eatown.
There's a pocket
down in the
Litchfield,
porch.
There's four. Stop. Outside Jefferson County, it's all Kentucky blue. You are the underdog. You are the little brother to 4.5 million people. You are the little brother. Louisville has 500,000 fans in this state, and that's it. The rest, 4 million, are all Kentucky.
And six last names.
And how many teeth?
Seven.
Collectively?
So.
Seven.
Yeah, I was hoping it was average. But
that's
truth.
That's what she said.
That is the truth. You are hated throughout the city or at state. The Louisville is it. And half your city is Kentucky fans. Do you know how many people show up? The same amount of people that show up for the UK Jefferson County Alumni Association with Calipari is the same amount of people that show up for the U of L kick tip off luncheon. Yeah. You are the underdog. Get that tag back.
Alex Cupper joined me a few weeks ago when things weren't well, and he mentioned that's just a big difference, that every other coach that has had success at Louisville and they've made, you know, taken another step on the ladder in college football is that it's always been at us against the world. I mean, when they beat Bama in the Fiesta Bowl, when they beat Florida in the Sugar Bowl, like those are, you know, they had to embrace that role as nobody's given us a shot. We're doubted. Nobody thinks we can do it. And maybe that's what ended up happening with Satterfield. Their back was against the wall. They lost their quarterback. The report from ESPN was that he was going to lose his job, and sure, what have they done? They've won, what, 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6 games? I mean, maybe they didn't realize that's what they needed to do, but they're certainly going to be underdogs, and I'm glad they are. They should be underdogs on Saturday, and they'll definitely get that vibe from the fans that are there, because there won't be many Louisville fans, I don't think.
Thank you, Nick. Real quick, 10 seconds. Who's going to win the game? 10 seconds.
Kentucky 24, Louisville 19.
Picking the Kets.
Well, tomorrow, guys, we have our little Thanksgiving potluck here at the station, and I'm bringing in a lots of pasta charcuterie board.
Mm.
So go up to the deli counter, say, I'd like one of those charcuterie boards Dave and Tony talk about, and you can pick them up by the numbers. You can put your own together. I did a number 3, which has a few different kind of meats, a few different kind of cheeses. I'll get the gourmet crackers, and you guys will be digging this tomorrow.
I went there yesterday with Maggie. She drove. She's 17, still doesn't have her license. So
Maggie's driving?
We're practicing. Wow. So she was trying to practice parking in that parking lot next to CVS and lots of pasta.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And I was like, why is the parking lot insane? And then we got into lots of pasta. Why is it insane in here? I was like, my advertisements are effective, but damn.
It's also a cut through.
It's also Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So people are loading up on lots of pasta. Why do you think it's busy? Because they'd rather serve lots of pasta food than their own.
We have family coming in. We're not doing turkey every day. So we've got some lasagnas and some chicken pot pies, stuff to make homemade pizzas. Company's coming. Feed them.
What's the type of meat we love? The
the brisket pastrami.
Prosciutto. No.
Oh, the prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
I got a pound of rosemary ham.
Oh.
So it's delicious, juicy ham with rosemary spices on the outside.
Lots of pasta. 3717 Lexington Road in the heart of St. Matthews. Back after this. Usually when I leave the building, I hear that noise, but this is just an introduction to the segment.
It's in your mind.
Click it or skip it.
Everybody's checking you out.
I have to stop, pose a little bit, and then I actually have to ask, are we good? Are we good?
It's actually Greg Anderson taking those pictures.
And I can keep moving along.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's the first story?
Okay, here we go to prove our ineptitude, shall we say, when it comes to pop culture. These are today's gossip headlines. You tell me if we skip it or you want to click it and learn more.
Yes, sir.
That's what we call it, click it or skip it. Headline report. Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles on a break.
I want to click this because I think this entire drama from the movie to their kind of situation with everyone else is a drama filled. I think they do it for promotional purposes.
To stay on the gossip page.
Yeah, go. What is it?
Perhaps the number one tabloid relationship of 2022 seems to be over or at least paused.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde are taking a break from each other, though. Word is there's no big breakup, no bad blood, but their careers are making it very difficult to maintain a relationship, according to sources. He's still touring and is now going abroad. She's focusing on her kids and her work. It's a very amicable decision.
Yeah, okay. That's not too much in there, but that's fine. I think they made it all up, the fighting and the movie stuff.
Her kids, by the way, are Jason Sudeikis' kids.
Yes.
Otis and Daisy.
Yes, and there was drama between all those people, and they were doing it on the car wash of interviews for the movie. That's
I love the name Otis. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Never takes the stairs.
Nope.
Headline. Nick Cannon has no idea if more babies are on the way.
Skip it. I'm so sick of Nick Cannon. The only reason he's in the news is because he's procreating. That's it. Having
Bingo.
Babies. That's it. That's no reason.
He's in because he doesn't use condoms.
I don't think he's actually started anything besides hosting that stupid singing show.
Oh, he's in stuff.
Yeah. Nope. A little too much.
Headline, Tyler Perry reveals Meghan Markle shopped for a family in need.
Oh, why does Meghan Markle need a
why? Okay, first of all, you're supposed to do it without letting people know you're helping people.
Well, technically, she's not because he's doing it for her.
And she probably said, hey, Tyler, I'm getting kind of some bad press now. Would you mind kind of leaking out that I bought a, you know?
All right, click on the princess
Legos.
Or non-princess.
Tyler Perry has revealed that Meghan Markle isn't what many perceive her to be and that she can even come to the rescue of a family in need. Remember that formula shortage? Perry said he had an employee with a baby in dire need of formula. After being unable to find any himself, Perry turned to Meghan and Prince Harry, who were in London at the time. Perry disclosed that Meghan personally located formula and shipped it to his employee.
Love it. I'm watching, I think it's seasons 5 or 6 of The Crown. So we're well into the split up between Diana.
Oh, gotcha.
And, yeah, so this season is still not painting the royal family in a good light, okay?
Do they portray her as pretty cool, Diana?
No, she's starting to become a flake.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just flaky, and she's just beaten down, and she's sort of sequestered to herself. She has no friends.
Gotcha.
The family won't talk to her. She only gets the kids on certain times, and she's basically painted as this girl sitting on the couch with a remote in her hand. Hitting on doctors at the hospital when she's visiting old people.
So she went from flake to Dodie Bird.
Yeah, so she's at this point. So, again, they are not... The royal family looks like douches in this series.
Headline, Kanye West returns to Twitter.
No one cares. Let me sum up Twitter. No one loves Twitter, okay? And they'll do it... If Twitter is turned off this afternoon... No one will care in a week. Like, people will be uproar, go, where's Twitter? I can't go to Twitter.
Here's an investment question for you. So last week we said, seriously, the Washington Commanders NFL team could sell for $7 billion.
Which was shocking.
Elon Musk could have bought a quarter of the NFL teams.
Yes.
For what he paid for Twitter.
That's right. He overpaid it. It was the ultimate rich guy play. And he is trying to now, with the Donald Trump thing yesterday, and Donald Trump played him. Played him because Donald Trump said about a couple of hours ago that said, nah, What's the site that he's on?
Is it Truth?
Yeah, whatever. He said, I'm sticking with this one. I don't need Twitter.
He spent 2 years trying to create something new. Exactly. And, of course, Elon wants instant credibility with millions of people.
But the thing is, again, go back. Look, people love Led Zeppelin, okay? People love Taylor Swift. People love
potatoes.
They love the Washington Commanders, right? They love that. They don't love Twitter. It's a thing they do. And the second you take it from them, they'll go, okay.
There's something else.
Yeah, there's something else.
Click it or skip it headline. Eva Mendez creates marriage buzz by calling Ryan Gosling husband.
We did this last week. I'm going to skip it because I pretty much know that they're trying to drum up some attention here, even though they've been together for years. And she, of course, is not even in the realm of Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling is the most talented actor.
Damn straight.
He's the most talented actor on the planet right now.
Except for Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is good, but he's no Ryan Gosling.
That's
Come
true.
On. Come on.
Headline. Power Rangers star Jason David Frank has died at 49.
Yes, click it. I want to find how do you kill a Power Ranger, dude?
Jason David Frank, one of the original Power Rangers, has died, according to TMZ. The actor and MMA fighter died in Texas. Result of suicide.
Oh,
he's best
it.
Known as Tommy Oliver from the original run of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yep.
Debuted back in 1993. He was also a professionally trained MMA fighter, schooled in everything from Taekwondo, Muay Thai, Judo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and others, and had four kids.
You just can't take that. I don't know his story, so I don't want to kind of jump into it. But you still can't take that many hits to the head. If it comes out that it's a CTE issue to where it's just multiple hits over and over and over again in practice, because you don't think about practice.
No.
You think of these boxers. And you think about these boxing matches. It goes 10 rounds, and you think how many times he gets hit. Well, dude, do you know he gets hit in practice, too? When he's sparring, he gets hit over and over again. So... Godspeed to his family and his soul and prayers up.
Headline, Gigi Hadid and Leo DiCaprio spotted leaving the same restaurant.
He's Jack Nicholson all over again. I mean, to a T. He's just the coolest. He's so cool. When you have Brad Smith winning an Oscar, and he's thanking Leo. It's in the crowd going, I'll ride your coattails anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about somebody's Brad Pitt is the stature of way up there, and he goes, man, thanks, Leo. I mean, he's Jack Nicholson now. He's so cool. The VIP room is only Leo in there.
Click it or skip it.
Click it.
Gigi Hadid and Leo DiCaprio leaving the same restaurant might be a coincidence, but don't count on it.
Mm-mm.
Leo and Gigi Hadid were seen out for dinner at Cipriani in New York City.
Yep.
The camera-shy couple, who were joined by DiCaprio's friend, venture capitalist Vivi Nevo.
Yep.
Vivi Nevo.
If you get a chance, dude, watch Shutter Island again. Did I tell you I watched it last week?
It's where a bunch of photographers are out there?
No. Shutter Island's about the 1954 psych hospital on this island off New York.
Oh, gotcha.
He plays a marshal that goes there to investigate somebody that's disappeared. It is the creepiest film he's ever done, for sure.
Well, they attempted to hide from the photogs as security rushed them out of the restaurant. He was also spotted in Milan on the same day.
It's
Kind of how we roll.
New York to Milan.
Yeah, because she was walking the Versace Spring-Summer 2023 fashion show.
Damn him.
So that's
Milan.
Headline, Lizzo sends TikToker her 2022 Emmys dress so she can wear it to LGBTQ+ gala.
I don't know how I feel about Lizzo. Like, I'm all for her, and I'm for weight challenge women, but I'm also not for you wearing a thong on national TV. I'm sorry. I just don't think you should be sporting a thong on national TV and singing. Sorry. It's not the weight thing. It's just ridiculous.
And by the way, that's pretty much the whole story there, so we'll skip that one.
Okay.
Final headline, click it or skip it. YouTuber is ShowSpeed. I guess that's the YouTube handle, is ShowSpeed, or iShowSpeed, gets exposed for using fake Cristiano Ronaldo to promote crypto scam.
Okay. I saw a video the other day of a complete virtual reality person with the new technology they have, and Dave... It looks like a real person. Mm. It's not a real person. The voice is fake. The body is fake. It looks like a person walking down the street, and they're like, all of this is CGI. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Click it or skip it.
Skip it. Been talking about this Edlin and Edlin thing for about a year. They had the best year of their history of their company. They've given back, allowed the homeowners to keep $1 million this year. They're only charging 1% to sell your home. And, of course, they'll help you buy a house also. You got to check it out at Edlin.com or call them at 599-2800. It's Edlin and Edlin. Man, it's getting really dicey now. If you're talking about a 7 or an 8% APR for your buying a home or a mortgage, you want to keep as much of that house you have now equity in your pocket. Edlin and Edlin will let you do that. Edlin.com or 599-2800, only 1%.
It's the Afternoon Underdogs on 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Bonetti and Dave Jennings.
It's his birthday?
Nope, not that I know of. This is Motley Crue and Vince Neil.
Yeah.
This was the Shout at the Devil tour, I want to say. We saw him when I was a kid with Ozzy Osbourne. The Crue opened up for Ozzy.
Shout at the Devil, that was the early one when they were wearing all that stupid makeup.
Yep. Good album, though.
Yep. I can't, I have, when I show pictures of hairstyles or fashion today, my son just opens his phone and shows me a picture of Motley Crue from this tour and says, whatever.
Right.
And I go, no, you're right. You got me.
That's the old UK misdirection play.
You got me. You got me. All right. I went to the boat on Saturday night.
Oh.
Yes. Jackie's, one of her biggest clients, had a big anniversary party. 60 years being open, and they were great. They were such great hosts. And I have not been to the boat. When's the last time you've been to the boat? It's been like 20 years for me.
Like for a Boston concert 20 years ago, you know, that kind of thing.
It's been 20 years since I've been over there, so I did not know what to expect. Now, here's the first thing. There's no more boat. The boat's gone.
Was that one of the dumbest things?
Yes.
Wait. Can't gamble on the land now.
No. So remember, you had to be there at 3 or 4 different times of the day because they retracted the gate and the boat had to go 15 feet into the water.
Right.
And then they would move the boat back into. Actually, originally the boat had to tour, so it had to go up the river and back a mile. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then they did the you just go 15 feet. Then they did the just remove the ramps. And then they finally said, all right, it's making so much money for the county. Do whatever you want.
That was one of the dumbest things about Ozark. So they build that casino, right?
Yeah.
The Bell, it looks like the Bell of Louisville on the outside.
Right.
This boat that they have. Then they show the inside. It's this palatial Vegas casino.
Right.
Like, come on, people.
So I didn't know what to expect. We stayed the night because it was a cocktail-driven, it didn't start till 6 or 7. And it's, trust me, it's a good 30 minutes away. So
yeah.
We're not drinking and driving. And we're not paying an Uber for a 30-minute drive. So we stayed. And I got to tell you, my expectations for the hotel were about a 5 because I hadn't been there. I don't know. I know that it's a little older. So I said, you know what? It was really nice.
Now, one thing that, I'm not a gambler. So I went to Vegas and didn't gamble a dime. That was that quarter bouncing competition me and Alan Hughes won.
Yeah.
I didn't gamble. Been to the boat a couple times. Didn't really gamble. But I never see the scene that you see in the commercials or the movies. Where you have the pretty girl and some guy blows on the dice.
Yeah, no.
And everyone's cheering around them.
Yeah.
And you let it ride. Mama needs a new pair of shoes.
No. It's dudes. It's dudes and older people. The dynamic and the demo is wide. It's vast. It's everybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. Here's the other thing. If you are allergic to smoke, you're not going to have a good time.
I thought everything was non-smoking now.
No. In there, you have, it's split up to about, if it's a giant room, there's each quarter of the room is divided into smoking or non-smoking.
Oh, kind of like an old airplane.
Right.
Rows 1 through 8 are smoking.
Right. Well,
9 through 15 are non-smoking.
You smell it right away. Like, you come in because we're so used to non-smoking. Like, I don't know, was it 15, 20 years ago that Louisville went non-smoking anywhere? It was not a problem. I will tell you this. It was not an issue. It wasn't like our allergies were bad or whatever.
Right, right.
We had a great time. So I'm just saying, if you're allergic to that, don't go. But I was amazed at how many people actually smoke that work there. And I did okay. I did not do the...
Did you go with a certain amount? So I can lose this?
Yes. I pulled $200 out of the bank and said, we're here all night tonight. We have a hotel room. Whatever, whenever we spend this, that's it.
If you can make $200 last all night, you did pretty good.
That's what we did. I won. So I spent $200, but I won $200. So we broke even.
Penny slots?
And here's the thing. The slots are all different. Obviously, penny, quarter, dollar, whatever.
Yep.
But some of them are dollar slot. It says that. But when you sit down and put your money in, it says the minimum you can bet is four. Okay, so if you put a 20 in, you only get four damn bets. Okay?
Five.
So I'm like, oh my God, damn it. Wait a minute, where's my 20? And then I had to look down and go, oh, it's betting. Dumb. It's betting $5 at a time, damn it.
All psych.
Right, so, right. So I was like, damn it. So I got to the dollar ones, and that's when I started to score and win. I was killing it, and I killed it on three or four different machines.
Welcome to me.
Yeah, I know.
So I found this list. We have Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought this was intriguing. It's weirdest or most hated Thanksgiving foods.
Okay.
So I thought there's going to be some odd thing, but it was just a list of all the Thanksgiving foods.
Right.
It was apple pie and cranberry sauce and green bean casserole and mashed potatoes. So this is a stupid list.
That's stupid.
So I found another one.
Yeah.
Traditional foods that we will think are kind of weird from around the world.
Oh, yes. I like this list.
This is from Greenland, where they eat kvyat. Okay. What is kvyat?
Oh.
Why it consists of hundreds of dead auk birds stuffed into the body of a dead seal.
Okay, that's false. There's no way that anyone would think taking dead birds and stuff it into a dead seal and then, I guess...
I'm not done yet.
Oh.
The seal is then sealed up.
Where's Dwight to
laugh? Be completely airtight, covered in oil to repel flies and maggots, and then fermented for 3 months.
I'm going to throw up. Now, they cut this thing open and eat it?
The pungent, toxic-smelling bird meat is said to taste a bit like very mature cheese or licorice. It's often eaten over the winter months when it's harder to catch food, and especially at special occasions like birthdays or Christmas.
So, wow.
Kiviak, K-I-V-I-A-K, if you're looking for a recipe.
Well, I'm not moving to Greenland anytime soon.
Oh, hey, in South Korea, they like penis fish.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that fish had a penis.
Well, in South Korea, the penis fish is a popular delicacy, also known as gaebol.
Oh, the fish is the penis.
It looks kind of like, it's shaped like one.
Okay, I got you.
Typically eaten raw, sliced and served with a savory sesame oil sauce. Purportedly a little bit bland with a slight sweet taste, which makes the sauce crucial.
Who named this fish?
I don't know.
Two dudes the first time they saw it?
Yeah, it's just bad marketing.
What are we eating? Don't worry about it.
That's right. They're Rocky Mountain oysters.
Don't worry. Right.
Tastes just like seafood.
Man,
deep fry them.
What am I eating?
Wow.
It's bull testicle.
Those are bull balls. Casa Marzu out of Italy.
Okay.
Quite simply, pecorino cheese that has been completely decomposed and occupied by maggots.
Oh, my God.
It is dangerous to eat and could be fatal, which is why it's banned in most countries.
Yeah.
It originates in Italy, where it was eaten by those in desperate poverty who had little else to eat, now sought after on the black market. People want to try the illegal cheese that might kill you.
People are weird. Steak tartare is something that you said could kill you. That's what popped in my head.
Yeah.
Is the raw ground beef.
No, in Wisconsin, they would eat that called a cannibal sandwich.
Why?
It would be just raw ground beef with lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, whatever.
That's gross.
Cannibal sandwich.
I mean, have you ever even taken a bite of that?
Hell no.
Right, okay.
Come on, man. I got to cook my meat. In Iceland, they enjoy hákarl.
Okay.
Which is an Icelandic delicacy of fermented shark meat that is famed for its incredibly pungent odor. Takes 9 weeks to ferment, which reduces the natural toxins in the shark meat, making it ready to eat with no cooking required at all.
Oh, well, thank you. It only took 9 months.
Yeah.
We don't have to cook it, but it takes 9 months. Can you stick around? Can you stick around?
That's right. In China, where all good things come from,
oh, Lord.
They eat snake soup.
Yeah.
It's a 2,000-year-old delicacy, mostly eaten throughout China, but also some other parts of Asia. Different snakes can be used, and often a customer will pick out the snakes that they want to use. Most popular are python and water snakes. They cook it over 6 hours. It's considered to be healthy and full of medical benefits.
You know, I always say that New Yorkers believe that nothing exists west of the Hudson. Like, they're mm-hmm. the only people in the world, right? And the things that they do are right and whatever, right? That's China. China's been around for 5,000 years.
Yep.
Their culture is 5,000 years old, and they've been eating this weird stuff for 5,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And their belief is a lot like New Yorkers. They laugh at the rest of the world. They don't really they're not concerned about anyone else and what we do. They just kind of do China. That's it.
I mean, keep your viruses there then.
Almost every world virus that almost took us all out came from China.
Yes.
The Black Death in the 14th century came from China.
As SARS came from China. What was the other one that came up during the Obama administration. It was pretty bad. What was that stuff called? H1N?
Oh, the
H1N bird flu. Asia.
Yeah, Asia.
Jiminy Christmas.
It's not Persia.
It's not Persia.
Who put their cools?
Who been putting out their cools on my floor?
On my Persia.
Hey, in Norway, they eat sheep's head smalahove.
Anything, any culture that, where is this at?
This is in Norway.
Norway, okay. I just, you got to be really desperate to, what's left? Well, we got the skull.
Yeah, so this is a traditional recipe usually eaten on the Sunday before Christmas. You prepare and boil the sheep's head. You then serve it with rutabaga and potatoes.
Rutabaga.
Tastiest part of the sheep's head is the potatoes. No, it's apparently the cheek. One serving is usually half a sheep's head per person.
I'm going to guess.
So if you have 10 people coming over, you need 5 heads.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I'm going to guess that younger set people from Norway don't do this.
Like probably
the,
not.
The older set is like, oh, it's traditional. We must do it.
It's like in So I Married an Axe Murderer. Can I have a haggis?
Yeah, no.
Do you eat that?
No. Haggis is so gross.
Ugh.
It's just the stomach.
It's a better name than penis fish, but not by much.
Eh.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that if you name a fish the penis fish, it just you're going to get a bunch of questions afterwards.
Right.
Is it an actual penis? No. Is it just shaped like a penis? Yes. What kind of
right. I heard it's so nasty it's hard to swallow. People chew it for a while and then just like, okay, I can't eat this.
Dwight's the laugh guy. He's the laugh track.
Mm-hmm. People are laughing in their cars.
I'm sure.
Sure. In Sweden, they enjoy a surströmming.
What?
It's well known as the smelliest food in the world, and for a very good reason. It's a disgustingly stinky fermented fish. It's banned on planes due to its odor. I think we've all sat next to that person.
Yeah.
They serve it with thin flatbreads and oat breads.
Yeah.
Very sour, sharp, peppery taste with a salty baseline.
Yeah. Where is this?
That one is in, Inga from Sweden. Yeah, pleased to help me with my rucksack.
Look, man, you're going to get weird foods from up there because it's winter 9 months a year. So whatever food you've got, you got to make it last.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going to come up with some weird traditions.
And let's see what we have. From Colombia, hormiga culona, which is edible fat-bottomed ants.
Huh.
Popular delicacy where they're either roasted or fried and eaten like peanuts.
Apparently, if you
roast... supposed to be an aphrodisiac.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
And smoky.
That's how they got the guys to eat it. So, or the women, either way. But they do... The ants are supposed to be like popcorn or like peanuts. Yeah. So, supposedly, chocolate-covered ones are the best. But it's in Colombia, so it comes with a side of cocaine.
That's not bad. Yeah. Let's see. In the Philippines, they love tamalak woodworm. Popular Filipino delicacy in some circles, found in decaying rotten logs and swamps and mangroves.
Yeah.
They crack the wood open. They extract these slimy creatures from inside. Once you crack open the log, you can find them wiggling through the wood, making holes as they go. Similar to oysters, it has a fishy, slimy texture, complemented by a very off-putting stench.
Look, if you're hungry, something is not as disgusting. Look, okay? I mean, you go back to guys that have been shot down in war and they're playing and they're hiding for a week.
Yep.
They have no food. And they're like, what did you do? Well, we drank the water. I got some water. But we would eat whatever, cockroaches or whatever was above.
Eventually, you get that hungry.
You're so hungry. And I'm like, how could you do that? You get so hungry. You're glad to eat that damn roach.
Remember the plane crash from was the early 70s, late 60s,
yes,
where it crashed on a mountaintop? They ended up eating each other.
And towards the end, they weren't minding.
Mm-mm.
They were going at it. And most of them survived. Back after this.
Ironically, this is Wings singing Jet.
I did see the an older video the other day on my timeline with him and Michael Jackson. Say what you want. It was okay song.
Yeah.
But you have to transport your time back in time those two were probably the most popular singers in the world at that time.
Of course.
Right? So they're like, those guys are getting together and doing a song?
About $2 billion right there singing that little ditty.
And that's, I think, when they set up where he was joking around that Michael was going to buy the Beatles catalog. And he ended up doing it. I think they ended up buying it back from the family.
I think so. And that paid for itself.
Yeah. Okay, we were talking about the Governor's Cup earlier. That is Saturday. 3:30 is the kick in Lexington. Of course, it's Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of families are coming in town. We're going to probably go out to the track on Friday.
And well, you're just a gambler now, aren't you? You're doing the boat, doing the track.
Well, we would never. I went to the boat on Saturday, had a great time. Thank you to Eckert. They were one of Jackie's biggest clients, and they threw a great party. Mm. And I've been to the boat in 20 years. It's not a boat anymore. There is no boat. It's all on land.
We still call it the boat, though.
Yes. Everybody knows exactly
it's
what I
mean. It's still the summit.
When I texted my friend group and said, hey, I'm headed to the boat on Saturday. Anybody want to run up and join us? So everybody knew. It's not a boat anymore, but everybody knew where the hell I was going.
Of course.
Sears Building. I know exactly where you're at.
Bingo.
Right?
It's what we do.
World Cup was getting a lot of crickets around town. I have not heard any.
They should promote it a little more.
Dust up about what's going on with the World Cup. Of course, the only things that are coming out, and you don't know whether it's really happening or not, because what do we go through every 4 years with the Summer Olympics? Not the winter, but the Summer Olympics is how it's going to be a disaster in this country.
Yep. Remember in Brazil, people were going to jump in the water and they were going to burn up because the acid was going to rot your flesh.
Yes. And in China, the air is so bad you can't breathe. How are these people going to compete in this air quality? They would show pictures of Beijing where it was just literally looked like L.A. in the 1970s and you just couldn't breathe. So all that none of that came true. And although it was fine.
What about this little bait and switch, though? I think they kind of led people to believe that selling beer would be okay for this event. Mm-hmm. And they decided, you know what? It's kind of against what we do. No alcohol for you.
So 2 days before it starts, because it started yesterday, games are playing. I think Britain is played this morning. So 2 days before the event, even though Budweiser spent millions of dollars to be the official beer of the World Cup.
And nobody can drink it there.
They said, no, we're pulling it. So Budweiser countered and said, hey, okay, we're not going to complain too much, even though this is BS. What we're going to do is whoever wins, we will take all the beer that was supposed to be served at the World Cup
and dump it on them.
And we'll throw a party in your country.
Okay.
So I went, oh, okay, that sounds
good. What if the home country wins?
Well,
which they won't.
No,
Qatar. They already lost.
Again, Qatar is, they are having.
Remember they pulled the whole Qatar thing on us?
Yes.
During the Gulf War stuff?
Couldn't believe it.
And they did that with Kyiv.
Yes.
Wait a minute. It was Kiev until someone shoots bullets in there, and then you change the name.
One journalist gets it wrong.
I don't get that.
And we all have to start going it the other way.
Thanks.
But they are having some other issues. And then this morning, I don't know if it's true or not, but it was on a legitimate news service that some of the countries were going to wear the rainbow patch on their.
The pride thing.
The pride thing on their jerseys. And apparently Qatar is telling them if you wear that on your. On your jersey, or what do they call in soccer?
The pitch shirt.
It's a kit. You wear it on your kit.
Sig, whatever.
If you wear it on your kit, that the person that has it will get a yellow card.
They should be a rainbow card.
Right.
This is very forward thinking of Qatar.
They are not doing well being ambassadors to the planet.
You think?
Right now. And
why do you award Qatar the World Cup to start with?
Because they
have to know
these
things. Exactly. It's just like the IOC. Mm-hmm. Highest bidder, please.
Yeah.
I need a chalet in the Alps. Thank you.
And people are like, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is the Olympics I get because it's more of a clean cut. The whole world comes together for different values. The World Cup is a party. It's like going to Vegas. You're there to party and cheer for your soccer team.
You pee in cups and you blow your vuvuzelas.
Yes, it's a party. It's not going to the Olympics to represent your country. This is all the fans go there and know it's all about drinking and partying. That's what it's about. It's about one gigantic 2 week Super Bowl. And now you put it in a place you can't have alcohol or women can't show their hair. I mean, what are we doing? So
glad I didn't buy tickets. Because you know me.
World Cup.
I go where the soccer is.
I know you do.
And high school football.
And then Ticketmaster is back in the news.
Now, wasn't there a weird Taylor Swift overreaction, like I'm canceling my tour?
No, she didn't do that. Oh, no. She likes money too much.
Apparently.
Justice Department has jumped in. That's what you're thinking. Justice Department, I'm like, look.
Dwight is back there going, finally, yes, Ticketmaster.
He hates Ticketmaster.
And T-Mobile.
And here's the thing. Ticketmaster in their secret offices are laughing. They're like, okay, go because they've done this for 20 years. Go somewhere else. And people have tried to come up with new ticket places, but Ticketmaster is still, it's a perfect name. They are still the master of the tickets.
That is true.
And you can't get away from them. And their charges are ridiculous. Sometimes double or sometimes the price of the ticket. So if it's a $20 ticket, sometimes their charges are $20.
Oh, it'll be $38 by the time you're done.
Yes. It's crazy.
Your $40 in tickets is now $76.
It's crazy. So Ticketmaster came out and apologized but blamed Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift went, oh, not so fast.
Yeah.
Not so fast, bro. And then Ticketmaster took that statement.
Did she say bro to Ticketmaster?
Oh, not so fast, bro. B-R-A-H.
H, bro.
Not so fast, bro. So Ticketmaster took that statement back and said, oh, we didn't say anything. So then now they're going to open up because they stopped. It's insane. So now the Justice Department wants to know how they're looking at it. I'm going to watch a video after I get off the air of someone explaining why Ticketmaster has been enabled by lawmakers to be in a monopoly. Mm-hmm. And that's why they have not been taken down, because lawmakers have made it okay for them to just rape the United States citizen.
Speaking of money and entertainment, I try to get interested in this story. I just can't. Sylvester Stallone said he will not buy a ticket to see Creed 3 when it hits theaters in March.
Because
he created the Rocky franchise. Erwin Winkler ended up with the rights to it all.
Oh, right.
So Stallone doesn't get a dollar out of it. At some point, he voluntarily sold the rights, did he not?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
And plus, the Creed movies aren't bad, are they?
No, they're actually good. They're well-written. The last couple of Rockies and the first Creeds were well written because he's a washed up boxer and everyone's dead. Everyone in the movie's dead and he's lonely. So this is kind of stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. Written well. So I don't care. I don't care about that story. I mean, Sylvester Stallone is still a bigger star than the Rocky series.
At some point, did he need the money? That's why he sold the rights. I don't know how this all came about. A lot of times maybe it was early on. You hear a lot of times there'll be a singer. I think Benny King made like $50 for Stand By Me. Became a hit multiple times, but he did not profit from it.
Right.
I don't know if Stallone early on when he was making the first movie needed the money. I don't know, but you made millions, dude. Let it go.
I'll probably see it because I saw the first two Creeds, and I liked them. And I thought they were well written.
I wonder if Erwin Winkler is going to watch Stallone's new TV show. I wonder.
I got to tell you, when I was a little kid, I thought it said Henry Winkler. And for years, I thought that the Fonz was the producer of the Rocky movies.
He was on a Hallmark movie this weekend.
Was he really?
Flipping through the channels. I didn't stop. Probably watching Golden Girls reruns.
Right.
They follow the Hallmark movies. Yeah. And there was the Fonz.
It's good stuff.
Yep.
All right.
Happy endings.
Well, I don't think so. None of the Hallmark.
Oh, they don't show it.
Happy ending.
Yeah, they're smiling at the end.
I got you.
The guy gets the girl. The girl gets the guy. The dog lives. All right. It's all good.
All right. Back after this. Keep where you got it.
Southern Comfort Hot Tubs, baby. Hey, Dwight Whitten here, and I want to tell you about the favorite part of my day. That's ending my day with my wife in my Southern Comfort Hot Tubs. You're going to love it, too. And right now, you can get 12 months, same as cash, at Southern Comfort Hot Tubs. Go see Ty Gibson and the crew. They want to fix you up. How about this? A brand new hot tub for your family for Christmas. What a way to reconnect with the ones you love. No more tablets or cell phones. It's just you and the ones you love in the hot tub. And you wouldn't believe the health benefits that you get from using a hot tub. Just do yourself a favor and Google health benefits of a hot tub. Then run down the 7501 Preston Highway and get you a Southern Comfort hot tub. Southern Comfort hot tub. You're going to love them.
Too legit. Too legit. Too legit.
What's up, Daryl Isaacs?
You, man. Thanks for having us again. Love this place.
Looking good. You walked in with a pizza, and I've now called Porter Cottrell to tell on you because you're doing so good. Daryl Isaacs in the building right now. Of course, a good friend of mine and a hell of a lawyer. WeWin.com, WeWin.com. If you need Daryl at any time, they'll take care of you. I promise you. But you have dropped over 70 pounds, so I've got to be. I got to tell on you.
I wasn't eating the pizza.
Okay.
We're working with Beer Nose and helping a charity. So what they do is they tempt me and they fix it, and I show up at another place and I'm getting ready to go on air and it's right there.
Yes. But this is all connected with George, the cancer event that we got going on.
This is for the Childhood Cancer Family Fund, who supports the families that have patients, children at St. Jude's in Memphis. We got Mike Krask here from the Childhood Cancer Family Fund.
Mike, let's talk about Daryl jumping on board, and then what goes on down there that makes you work so hard for this this event?
Well, we work with directly with the families of St. Jude patients at Target House. It's a long-term family housing for St. Jude patients. There's 96 families there. We provide the Christmas gifts for their free Christmas shop.
And we're getting down towards the nitty gritty, George.
Yes, we got until December 2nd. All 14 locations. We do a lot of fundraising throughout the year: a trivia night, a bourbon auction. But now is the nitty gritty where we're trying the final push for toys. So at all 14 area Bear Nose locations, you can drop off a toy, and it's for Mike can give a little details on the types of toys. But now through the 2nd, and then. But if you can't make it by Bear Nose and you can't drop off a toy, that is why we've, you know, stepped it up a notch this year, and we brought in the hammer. And because to Daryl, tell them how you're involved with your text campaign.
Well, some might say you've taken it down a notch bringing me in. But no. So the great thing about this is, look, this is what we do. We see a lot of tragedy. Last night I'm talking to a family that a truck killed a loved one, and it's hard, but this is a different type of tragedy. And, you know, you have families that have kids that might be their last Christmas. So, you know, they're at St. Jude and they want to give them presents, and we got to help. You know, that's a good thing about Louisville. I mean, you know, everybody steps up. You know, when they asked me, I was excited to do it. We got a way. If you can't get the toys to Beer Nose, you can text HAMMER to 243725. You can make a donation, and then they'll take the money and buy presents. And I promise you, you'll feel so good about yourself when you do for others.
No, that's what the whole season's about, is getting that spirit, the spirit of Santa, where the giver really gets more than the person that's getting the present. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, you know, you and I have kids. We know our kids. Can you imagine, like, okay, this is the last Christmas, and you know, they're... Look, we're working right now. They're not working. A lot of these families have been there 2-3 years at the hospital watching their children suffer. Yeah. And so they want to give them a little joy. And I think the whole – I challenge everybody every day. You know, everybody talks about, you know, I don't do hardly anything. Everybody does so much more than me. But how great would it be if everybody listening went out and got one toy or made a $5, $10 donation or something – to help one family.
Well, it's so easy now. You don't even, the hassle for me was in our busy schedules trying to get to the toy shop to buy, to go to Beer Nose. Right now, just go out and pull Amazon up on your phone. You're doing it 2 or 3 times this week. Order some presents. It'll deliver to the house. And then when you go to Beer Nose on Friday or Saturday or Tuesday night, whatever it is, drop them off. But just get out your phone or your laptop right now. You're at work. Just get to Amazon, pick out a couple of presents, and have them send it to the house. It's as simple as that.
So when the hammer was a little bit younger and the kids were a little bit younger, did you ever wait in line? Did you ever fall into the, he must have a Tickle Me Elmo, he must have this, and have a story about waiting in line for that toy?
Did you ever, Daryl, did you ever have to get out and about? Dave asked, they don't have headphones on. I'm looking around now and no one has headphones on. But what was the one present that your kids wanted that you didn't get for them? Like, is there any ones that you couldn't get?
Patch kids at the time. Have kids, and everybody wanted it. And I never forget, I was one of those Value City or something, and I didn't know what it was. And
as a father, you're
crazy.
Kind of a human Cabbage Patch.
George. Not anymore.
George and I went to law school together. George. We got this relationship.
By the way, Vandy beats Kentucky, and then they roll and beat Florida, dude.
It's crazy. Crazy. That
What's going on?
That guy, he's trying to change the culture. You know, he played Coach Lee. He played at Vanderbilt, but then he's had a lot of success coaching. He was the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame and goes down there, and it didn't look very promising the past year or so, but past couple weeks he's got on the road just like Satterfield. So
I've always I went to a Vandy game once, and I know exactly. I was like, after I left, I went, I know why they lose, because they, I've always said Vandy uses the SEC as an ATM and they don't really care. Like, they're a part of the SEC. But so we get there and their jumbo screen is on, and usually at UofL, UK, other places, the jumbo screen comes on and it's like a highlight of pro, you know, tackles and touchdowns. Your jumbo screen comes on, and I was laughing because the president of the medical school comes on with his doctor's jacket and he goes, let's talk about the school. And he's, he starts talking about the school, and he starts, he's like, what's some exciting stuff happening at Vanderbilt? And I said, okay, I laugh because that's, you all are a school that plays football in the SEC.
Yes.
Okay. And the other ones are football teams that happen to have a school.
We've had some good, Will Wolford here locally, was an All-American.
Yes.
He did very well down there.
Yes.
Franklin, the guy that coaches Penn State now,
he came from Vandy.
You know, he did well for a few years, you know, coaching down there. So we got some positives, but in my opinion, other than Vanderbilt, country music, the only thing good in Tennessee is St. Jude Hospital.
Right.
So that's what we're all here about, and we want to make sure that St. Jude, it's down in that Memphis way, and we want to make sure we support them this year.
All right, well, pulling in the heavy hitter is a pretty good one, the hammer. So wewin.com, wewin.com for Daryl. Daryl, you're barreling, we're all barreling towards Christmas, and of course this weekend is Thanksgiving. You got everybody coming in town.
Everybody's going to Florida for like 2 days.
Oh yes,
we get to see all three kids at once.
Wow.
Which is rare.
Yeah,
so we're excited.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the thing, you think about the family, I mean, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you know, you think of all the soldiers, everybody that's deployed, and you know, they're making a sacrifice, you know, and then it just, it all ties together, and then you think of these kids, and you know, these families being at the hospital during this time, just hard. So
it is.
We can all do our part to make it a little better.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. So again, any of the Bear Nose locations, the sooner the better, right?
By December 2nd. But, you know, perfect thing to do this weekend when you're out shopping or even picking up your pizza. Bring by a toy to support the Childhood Cancer Family Fund.
Hey, I got to give a plug.
Yeah.
That pizza, when I go off the wagon, that's one of the two things I'm eating is that Bernold. What is it? The
Mama Bernold.
I'm doing a Mama Bernold, and I'm doing the whole thing.
So, Daryl and I, when we were in law school, this is before I got involved with Bernold's, we used to go to the Bernold's at lunch, and we'd visit Mrs. Chandler. She's no longer with us. We'd
amazing.
Have our lunch or whatever.
Amazing.
And I like the pizza so much, I ended up getting in the business. He ended up going on to be the hammer. I mean, what happened? You know?
You know, man.
We're back together. We're back at Bernold's.
Right, that's right.
Miss Chandler just took the two. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I love you both. Okay, so everyone else is going out on dates. You all are meeting with the teacher to have lunch. Okay, so I got a date with who? Mrs. Chandler. Okay, so thanks for coming in. Let's get those presents out there. Mike, real quick, what kind of presents, real quick, that we're talking about here, that toys, any toys, dolls, anything electronic?
We'd like to concentrate on the gifts for the older kids, the teenagers up to 18.
Okay.
Everybody buys things for the little kids.
Okay. All right, we'll take care of it. All right, boys, thank you so much.
What's up?
She gonna make you move to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
So, I like to drive my daughter crazy.
And vice versa.
It's my job, and it really is her job to drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. Kind of laugh about it afterwards. But I just sent her a screenshot.
So, how's she handling, by the way, the Taylor Swift thing, not having tickets?
We're going to try to figure it out, but I think it's sinking in that it's just not exclusively dad is failing. All dads are failing. So, we're trying like hell to get tickets, but it's even at ticket price, just the normal ticket price, It's just she knew that. She just started crying and said, $400 is too much for a concert ticket. Like, she's not one of those children like, Daddy, give it to me now.
She didn't pull the, this could be my birthday present for the next five birthdays.
No, she did. She tried that. She said it could be. She actually used that exact phrase. She said, this could be my birthday present for the next 5 years. But then when she heard $400 a ticket, she went, that's just too expensive. Mm-hmm. That's just, it's silly. I'm so glad that at least she has something in her head that triggers, you know what? A concert isn't worth $400.
And I'm probably going to need a car in college and money for a wedding.
Yeah, so I sent her this screenshot. Meet John Bishop.
Hi, John Bishop.
Scott County man stands to make a fortune. He was on Ticketmaster last night buying ZZ Top tickets.
By the way, he buys all his tickets diagonally.
He was in stockings in a fast car. So he's on Ticketmaster. He wants tickets to ZZ Top at Riverbend.
Mm-hmm.
So he clicks on 8 tickets for ZZ Top. Bingo, bango, gets his tickets, but they're not to ZZ Top. They're 8 front row tickets to Taylor Swift.
Now, I don't have an $80,000 credit card limit on my card. I mean, so if that happened to me, trying to get the $800 worth of ZZ Top tickets, $80,000 would spit back on me.
Quote, I was mad because I don't even know who Taylor Swift is.
Oh, boy, there you go.
After a closer look, Bishop noticed that he had purchased 8 front row tickets to one of Taylor Swift's upcoming concerts in Cincinnati next year. Turns out they're worth a lot of money. Bishop plans to sell all of those tickets.
Yes.
And keep the profit. I'm thinking I could probably get $10,000 per ticket or maybe more. John, I think you're going to get more.
More.
A spokesperson for Ticketmaster said that due to the glitch in the computer system, the tickets were accidentally sold to Bishop.
Yeah, Bishop should go.
Bishop should go, yeah. So I sent that to her so she can do
If he's a single guy, what a great opportunity to meet people.
I love how we...
How bad do you want the Taylor Swift tickets?
But we all get in our little bubbles and we think, we talked Taylor Swift for a week last week, right? Like every day we had an update, right?
You almost want to go to the concert now.
I know. But then you get this John Bishop from Scott County that says, I don't even know who is this. Who's Taylor Swift?
And I don't buy that.
Right?
That's like the coaches. Well, I don't even listen to you guys. I don't listen to shows. I don't hear that. It's just people tell me that you said something about me.
Well, regardless, whatever. This dude's got 8 tickets, dude.
Good for him.
Yeah, no doubt.
And good lots of friends.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, I've got the top baby names of 2022.
All right. Which, let me guess. None of them are Karen?
They are not.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of fast fallers. They used to be climbing in recent years, but now Elon and Kanye are falling way down the pack.
Okay. Apparently.
So, top 10 baby girls... I still like that a lot of the traditional names are, I mean, not Mabel or anything like that, but Evelyn is number 10.
Okay.
Then Charlotte, Mia.
Okay, hang on. Mia, Evelyn. I love Evelyn. I think that is a beautiful name. Yeah.
We have a couple of those in our family.
Yeah.
Luna is number 7.
It's all right, Luna.
It's just asking to be called Looney, isn't it?
Right.
Right? And she probably is going to be Looney. Isabella, number 6.
Izzy. They call him Izzy.
Izzy, like that.
Izzy.
Sophia. Golden girl's name?
Yeah, we have a bunch of Maggie's age that are named Sophia, and they're all great girls. It's a pretty name, yep.
Then there's Ava at number 4.
I love Ava. I've got a couple of Avas, I know, yep.
Amelia?
Amelia is...
She's the one woman that doesn't know directions. Should have listened to Charles. Yeah. Hey, number 2 is Emma.
Emma's not bad, yes.
And Olivia takes the top spot.
Olivia. Olivia's a beautiful name, too. These are all names from 1928.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no Britneys or Courtneys anymore.
Yeah.
You can even go down a little farther, like number 15 is Ella, then Aurora, Nova, Scarlett, and Harper.
Well, I always remember in the 1980s, the two toughest guys were Sylvester Stallone and Arnold.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to an older guy, and he goes, when I was growing up, Sylvester and Arnold were the nerd guys.
Absolutely.
That was the Sylvester and Arnold.
Nobody called either one of them anything.
Right.
On the boys' side, number 10 is Leo. I guess DiCaprio or Zodiac reference there.
Yeah, Leo, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, Leo the lion.
No, Leo DiCaprio, yes.
And he's a lion.
Yeah. No, Leo should be a popular. He's the most.
Traditional names are, I mean, David's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
There's no Steves and Bills anymore, but James is number 9.
James is good, Jimmy, but no one will go by Jimmy. They will be James, because I don't know anybody that goes by Jimmy anymore. It's always James. And Steven is a fantastic name. And every Steve I know is a great guy.
Do you PH the Steven?
Yes.
Do you
well, you can.
How do you get a V out of...
I don't like the only misspellings I hate
the G offs.
The G offs.
Hey, G off. It's Jeff.
It's Jeff.
Spell it like it.
Well, spell it J E F F.
Loser. Get Dude. Yourself a real name.
Yeah.
Number eight is Asher.
Asher? As Asher. A first name?
As a first name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Levi, number seven. My parents' neighbor's named Levi.
Levi's not a bad name. Nope.
Nope. Nope. Lucas, number six.
Lucas is a good one.
This one's kind of interesting. Mateo.
Mateo.
You think we're doing the top 10 names in Italy or something? No, Mateo. Mateo.
Is it,
number five.
Manti Teo, but maybe it's a mixture. I don't know.
Right?
I've never heard anybody named Mateo.
Maybe he can make up a girlfriend named Sophia.
If he's Spanish, he'll be the most popular guy in school.
That is true.
Hello.
I tell you.
We have a new student in school. Yes. Let's stand up and reintroduce yourself. I am Mateo. Mateo, do you have a last name? No, I just go from Mateo.
I am like soccer star.
I am new to your school.
Teacher, believe me when I say, first of all, you look marvelous.
Yes.
Secondly, the ball ate my homework.
You are very pretty.
You're
very too pretty. You can carry my books if you like.
I will show you how you say extra credit after class.
Do you expect me to eat this cafeteria food?
What is this?
This cafeteria food is below my diet.
There is no spice for Mateo.
Mateo, this is below Mateo.
Who is feeding Mateo the swill? Who is responsible for Mateo's lunch?
Maybe Elijah, who's number four.
Elijah. Psh,
psh. Oliver, number three.
Oliver. It's all right. It's all right. I wouldn't name my kid Oliver.
Put your wallet in your front pocket when you're around that guy.
No.
Noah. Ironically, Noah's number two.
Noah's good. I like it.
Why could Noah? I mean, it's number two, Tony. Noah.
No, I mean, seriously, the only one.
Yeah. And number one, our former neighbor kid was Liam. Well, he's still Liam. He's just not our neighbor.
Liam's a great name. Yep. Known a bunch of Liam kids. Yeah, those aren't bad. I like it. No Tonys. Dave's.
No Tonys. No David's. Let's see. There's a Daniel down at 25. Matt.
Wait, time out. Where is John or Jack?
Jack is 22.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I see a Sebastian at number 17. There's a Benjamin at 18.
Named after a lobster.
Oh, William is 31. So there's Bill.
There's Bill.
Michael's 33. David all the way down there at 44. And I don't see a Tony anywhere.
Anthony.
Mateo.
Hey.
Nothing.
No Tonys. Good.
I don't see Karen anywhere.
No one's naming their kid Karen.
There's a Willow at 23.
I'm trying to remember the guy's name. That is it, Greg? I can't remember that. No one in England has named their kid, I think, Greg, since 1970 Carl. Something.
So no, it's not Carl. I remember that story.
Yeah, and they're saying that basically that name doesn't exist in England anymore. It's like, what? Back after this, you keep where you got it.
Hey, Dwight Whitten from my friends at Pabst Beef Jerky. I take Pabst Beef Jerky with me everywhere I go. Sits in the passenger seat right here in my Jeep Wrangler. Pabst Beef Jerky is the perfect snack for those of us that love the outdoors. Plus, it's the perfect snack to take with you everywhere you go. It's not going to melt and get all over your upholstery. No, it's going to be right there for you. And it's going to give you that perfect protein snack with none of that sugar crash. Pabst Beef Jerky is local, made right here in Louisville, and they give back to Louisville with every bag that's purchased. But the main reason I love Pabst Beef Jerky, it's the most delicious jerky you're ever going to taste. Hand-sliced, hand-seasoned, hand-smoked right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Find your favorite flavor. By the way, mine is the iconic Grippo's barbecue flavor, but find yours at PabstJerky.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.